Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Ardella Gross is back, ladies and gentlemen. She's a relatively new member of our Brain Trust. She is a retirement planner for the Georgia Teachers Retirement System, and she's also the author of Moneylicious, A Financial Clue for Generation Y, and she's here to talk to us about something that most of us probably know at least a little bit about what she's going to talk about. Ardella Gross, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me back on the show.
It's good to have you back, Ardella. You know, all you have to do to get invited back is just laugh at my jokes, and that you did a good job last time. Hey, Ardella, you say that even smart people make bad spending decisions.
Right.
So what, talk to us about that.
A lot of what I discuss about really has to do under behavioral economics or behavioral finance, which really is just a blend of our emotional decisions behind our spending habits. So it's the mix of psychology with money. It's a blend. And I think we all do this. I've even done this too, and we just don't even realize it. And sometimes when we spend money, we'll think, oh, it's just an extra $20. Oh, it's just an extra $30. Or if you're already spending, you know, $2,000 on something and it's an extra $100 to add on an extra something to it, then it's now $2,100, and it's no big deal because the transaction is now larger. And so that's one of the things. We tend to view larger transactions a little differently than smaller transactions.
So once we get to the point where we justify spending $2,000, another $200 is nothing, right?
Exactly. It just seems like I'm already spending $2,000. Why not spend an extra $200?
That's a no-brainer.
Absolutely. But you know that actually, I think, applies. I know quite a few people who have their own businesses and, you know, working hard at it, and they tend to do the same thing even in their business. And it's not so much necessarily about spending the extra $2,000. It's what they spend it on, and they're not seeing results. And so they think, well, I already put so much into it, I don't want to stop and give up. You know,
so they don't know when to call it off.
Exactly. And so in times, and I've even have done this before too, several years ago, not really realizing, you know, if I keep putting money into something that I'm not getting a result in, eventually I need to just stop. Same thing with investing as well. And so that concept isn't just so much on buying larger transactions. We tend to do that in many different facets in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So that is definitely...
Especially recurring things. Subscriptions or whatever, they tend to get entrenched, don't they? And then we have to take action to stop them, and we don't always do that. Or if we do, we wait too long to do it.
Right, or it doesn't seem like it's a priority either, because it seems like such a small task, but it's one of the easiest.
But these things mount up, don't they?
They really do. Everything really does add up. And now, of course, when I had actually written that article about it, it really has to do with more the everyday person whose net worth isn't exactly in the millions. You know, that if they spend $1,000 and their net worth is $5 million, it doesn't even put a dent in their bank account. So you do have to review your overall financial health and the wealth of your money and compare it. And it doesn't mean that you should value $1,000 any less if your net worth is $5 million, or value it more because your net worth is, you know, let's say $50,000 or something.
Some of the richest people I know are the biggest penny pinchers.
I was just about to lead into, and that's very much correct. And I know a couple of them, and
that's how do you think they got to be rich?
Exactly. They don't very much in the beginning, and even now. It doesn't mean that, especially the ones that I know of, they haven't maybe splurged. They can splurge a little bit more and buy more expensive things, but they don't do it on a consistent basis either.
Right.
And some of them, one of them I know of, has I don't even know the year of the BMW. It's a 1990. They still have that one. Plus, you know, a newer car. But they drive the 1990-something BMW.
Right. Exactly. So how do we get ourselves straightened out?
Well, you know, all those tactics that you hear all the time, setting up a budget, you know, paying off debt, a lot of that, or paying yourself first, a lot of that is really what everyone has to do, whether, again, it's for your personal finance or for your small, if you're a small business person, it doesn't change, and especially for small businesses. I had did a book signing event recently, and there was a couple in the audience who had their business. And I said, you know, one of the drawbacks I find with those who do have their own business, they completely forget about setting up their own retirement because they're so busy with trying to get the business going.
Well, the business is sucking all the as much as cash as it can. It'll take every penny if you let it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
For a long time.
So, yes, it will. It definitely will. And so it is, you know, a lot more difficult. But I've seen those who already have the business, and they think that their business is going to be their retirement.
Right.
And I've seen it where it's not, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, I have to say this, folks, from decades of observing this, more times than not, the business does not provide a good retirement. That is really more the rule than the exception.
Right. And that is very true. And to what you were saying about how you can get yourself, you know, back into shape, because we put so much emotion behind what we do, very similar to how you run your business, mm-hmm. you actually want to run your personal finances the same way. You want to remove the emotions, and hopefully you're removing the emotions when you're making those monetary business transactions too. So you do have to remove the emotions from it and just look at it.
What's the best way to do that?
One of the best ways to do that is to not be afraid to see your own reality. And it could just be as simple as looking over your accounts, looking mm-hmm. over your transactions, and actually describing, maybe taking a piece of paper. It doesn't require a lot, nothing fancy, nothing software.
Right. And looks like we lost you. We'll get her back. But one of the things I was going to say, and we're just about to go to a break, is that, folks, here's how I found, and I'm still working on this. I don't want to make it sound like I got this figured out. But one of the best ways to take the emotion out of a buying decision is to sleep on it. Even if it's a great deal and you can't pass it up, if it's a good deal today, it'll be a good deal tomorrow. Sleep on it. It's amazing how much clearer things are the next morning. 20 after. We'll be right back with Ornella Gross after these messages. Stay with us. It took me by
surprise. Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.